Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
You know, a lot of times we do this, and there's a little bit of a middle ground, right? When you talk about what the Yanks and the Mets, for example, should have done before the trade deadline. Give up the prospects, don't give up the prospects, take on money, leave money for Soto. There's a lot of areas of that conversation to latch onto. Like, I don't know that it was quite as definitive. I think you could have two or three different views that it kind of gets a little blurry, all right? There is one thing that's about to go on that there should be absolutely no debate about. I mean, zero. And kind of ties into something that Sal was talking about yesterday about how sports has really changed and, you know, how it's always about winning tomorrow rather than today. And it was an interesting conversation. And I'm talking about Aaron Rodgers. And I'm talking about a football player. And I'm talking about a football player who is incredibly rusty and has a lot to prove with a few new big bodies in front of him on the offensive line. To me, the notion, Sal, of Aaron Rodgers not playing a single snap in the preseason is ludicrous. I would absolutely play Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I just don't think it's necessary. And I've thought about this, you know, for years. We've had this debate with certain players and with Rodgers, I understand, because of his age and what happened last year. It's even more of an issue this year. I don't think it matters, BT. Imagine playing him in the preseason. And by the way, he played last preseason. You were on hand to see it.
Yep.
And, you know, whatever it was, played one series and had success. And then he's out of the game and he still gets hurt. First play of the season. Imagine if something goes wrong with Rodgers in the preseason. Like, what good could come of playing Aaron Rodgers in the preseason?
Chemistry.
You don't think he's building chemistry now in training camp?
It's not the same.
It wasn't doing it in OTAs when he was away at Egypt. But
it's not the same. I don't think it's quite the same. You can't replicate that speed in practice because he's not going to get hit in practice.
If there were ever a player who, and normally I'd be with you right, on this, like, I like the idea of at least, you know, getting out there, you know, having the pads pop and getting that feeling for in-game action, even if it's a series, even if it's for a drive, whatever it may be, before you actually take the field for games that matter. But with him, if there's ever a player I think would be fine without having to play in a meaningless, absolutely meaningless preseason game, it's him. Rodgers will be fine week one. You go out there and...
See, I think he wants to play. And that's a little bit of a different conversation. Right. I think he wants to get out there. I think the Jets are terrified. So let me ask you this. So while I think he should play, let me also say, What the heck is under here? What is this?
Oh, some scoreboard or something?
I don't know what it is. Well, I would play him.
Yeah.
I don't think that they will. So That's different from what I would do, but I don't think they'll play him.
If he wants to...
I think they're gonna try to protect him from himself.
But he's calling the shots. If Rodgers says, hey, look, like, to your point,
yeah,
I need to get out there and get the feel of it and gel with this team in game action, it's different than in training camp.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think Saleh's gonna be like, okay.
Yeah, well, they might acquiesce because they generally do with him. But I don't think he's going to play. All right. So what is the difference between this year and last summer? That Giants game that you just referenced when he came in, threw a touchdown to Garrett Wilson. So if the Jets were okay with him playing last summer in game number three, why would they not be okay with him playing this summer? I'll tell you why. Fear of public backlash. And that is not how you operate. I understand that's a possibility.
But they could have gotten that last year, too.
True, but it would be so much worse this year based on the fact that we didn't even get to see him play last year.
Understood.
You know what I mean?
I know you're right because of the injury. They're fearful. But think about it this way. And by the way, like, he played, he was fine in preseason, and he gets hurt first snap of the game or whatever it may be, the first, you know, first series of the game for the Jets last year, out for the season. There's no way to control that stuff. However, God, I forget about the public backlash and what would happen had he got hurt in the preseason. Is it worth the risk to put him out there? Like, for what? He could gel in the first game. I'd almost rather risk the first game, which, by the way, is a game where, okay, could they win? Sure, you could win any game. But, you know, at San Francisco, tough matchup anyway. And these games in the NFL, the way that the preseasons are anyway, BT, the first few weeks of the season, maybe first 4 weeks of the season, are kind of a feeling out process as it is. So why not just have Rodgers get acclimated, have that chemistry in week one?
Well, I mean, I think that that's what they're going to do. I wouldn't do that. Let me ask you this. What if Aaron Rodgers goes down against the Giants, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to put worst case scenario out there, but that's
right.
That's the gist of today's conversation. What should you do? Let's say he got hurt against the Giants. Season's over, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say he gets hurt against the Niners. Season's over, right?
Right.
What's the difference?
Well, one game matters. One game does not.
Well, but the Jets beat the Bills in Week 1 last year without him.
No.
And nothing happened. They still stunk.
No, but I'm saying the preseason game doesn't matter. So if he got hurt in a game that doesn't matter, it's much harder to digest.
Is it, though? It all equates to the same stuff. Season's over. Ruined. What's the difference?
Yes, but if you go down, if Rodgers had that injury happen in the preseason last year, what do you think would have been the conversation in the field? Oh, my God, what the hell are we doing? It would have been worse. Like, at least he gets hurt in the first game. Now, it sucked, and you're right, the result was the same, but it's really nobody's fault. It happened. If he gets hurt in the preseason, like, there are certain preventative measures you can take to get you into the season healthy. If you lose a guy in the preseason, there is no excuse for that. If you lose a guy in Week 1, you say, well, what am I going to do? I can't sit him till Week 7. Like, there's only so much you could do. I think the least the Jets could do to keep Aaron Rodgers healthy is not have him play in the preseason.
I think that the Jets, this is where they were a victim of their own tortured past. Because I guarantee, and listen, on some level, I certainly understand that. I mean, I understand it on every level. And on some level, I can actually agree with it very softly. They're processing how they would be perceived if he went down against the Giants.
If that's the reason.
I guarantee that's a big part of it.
If that's the reason, then it's wrong.
What? But you don't think that's a big part of the motivation?
I think the reason should just be simply, we don't want him getting hurt in games that don't mean anything. It's that simple. Forget about the outside noise. You're right. The outside noise is going to be even louder if he got hurt in the preseason. Forget about that. Just focus on, we need to get this guy healthy. You can't say, well, you're not going to have him play Week 1 because you want him, you know, for Week 2 or Week 3, or play against the Bills or the Dolphins. Like, you need him to play in the games that count. That's why he's here. But you can take precaution and not have him play in the preseason. As we saw last year, you're right, doesn't guarantee anything. He could get hurt first snap of the game in the regular season. But at least that you can justify. We're having him get hurt. And it's not just about the injury to BT for me. Like, if this were a young quarterback, I don't even want to name Zach Wilson, you know what I'm saying? A rookie quarterback, like Caleb Williams, he should be playing in the preseason.
I agree.
Whatever, J.J. McCarthy should be playing the preseason.
Sure.
Because you want to get these guys reps and have them acclimated. Aaron Rodgers doesn't need, you get the feeling this guy could show up, you know, the night of Monday Night Football and swing the football over the field with success.
888-808-1019. BT and Sal here on the Fan. Big show for you today. Listen, I would play him. I get it. It's a very dangerous juggle. But, I mean, to me, at some point, common sense has to prevail. Now, some might say, well, the common sense approach would be to take him out of harm's way. Okay, decrease the odds of him going down, increase the odds of the Jets doing something they never do, which is get to the Super Bowl and win. I understand that. Again, pragmatically, of course, everybody understands that part of it. But I don't understand the difference outside of the fact that football is just more violent. Clearly, is Jalen Brunson going to play a little bit with the Knicks? Yeah, he's going to play in the preseason. I mean, does Aaron Judge take swings when the Yankees go down to Tampa? Yeah. I mean, they do. Even a 40-year-old Mariano Rivera threw some innings down in spring training. What is the difference? You have to prepare for your craft. He has not played in a year. And let's be honest, he wasn't amazing the year before
with
Green Bay.
His age is a difference. What happened a year ago is the difference. And I also think, to your point, the we're seeing fewer spring training at-bats for big stars. We're seeing fewer minutes for stars in the preseason. Where, and again, I don't remember what it was like in the 90s, but I guarantee you that those guys are playing more than Jalen Brunson is going to be playing this coming year. You're going to preserve some of those minutes. So I think the sport has evolved, or sports have evolved in that regard. But specifically with Rodgers and his resume, his injury last year, his age, to me, there's no way that I would risk putting him out there in the preseason.
All right. I mean, this is one thing you don't really have to think too hard about. You either, you know, you want him to play or you don't. So what do you think? 888-808-1019, BT and Sal. Inside of our Town Fair Tire Studio, friends at Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. First up, we go to Red Bank. Anthony's up on the Fan. Ant, what's going on?
Not much, guys. Sal, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, on Friday, August 7th, this is a conversation. Basically, in Week 10, when the Jets are 7-3 and in the first place, we won't even have a glimpse of talking about this again. Mm-hmm. It won't even be brought up. So okay. I think as a 40, as a veteran that he is, you know, today is the conversation. Week 10, 11, we're not even going to be talking
well,
about
that, it. That's not true. What if he plays in the preseason and gets hurt?
Oh, exactly. I mean,
oh, right. But it is a conversation today. I mean, you want to do sports talk from the future? Yeah, let's just digest week one. You want us to preview Niners, Jets? We're not there yet. We're here. So it is a conversation for today, which is why we're having it, Anthony. And the problem is, or the point is, it's relevant now because if Rodgers does play in the preseason and gets hurt, that's going to harm the Jets season. Whereas if you don't play him in the preseason, and I understand both sides of the argument here. I've been on both sides of the argument in different years with different players
so
in different situations.
With him
in this situation, I understand. Normally, I would say 90% of the time, I'm with you. Play in the preseason, at least for a series, at least for a drive, mm-hmm. at least for a quarter, whatever it is, get the feel of it, and then go on into the regular season. With Rodgers, after what happened last year, and I admit, maybe a part of me is scared. I admit that that might be the case, but also his age and knowing that he doesn't really need it. Just like he didn't need those days at OTA because he was in Egypt or whatever it may be.
Yeah. Well, hold on. When you say he doesn't need it, that's part of the reason why I do think that he should play. Like, I mean, okay, does he need to drop back twice against the Giants? And they probably won't put a ton on film. I mean, maybe right. they blitz him once, whatever. But, you know, it's going to be a fairly benign vanilla defense, I would think. Does he really need that? Not necessarily. He's seen everything. He's a Jedi. Would it be advantageous to have Tyron Smith and, you know, obviously Vera Tucker, who's coming back from injury, and Tippmann, who's been snapping the ball all over the lot, by the way. I mean, Tippmann is throwing it over his head. He's short. He's not snapping the ball. If you guys have been following the early couple of days in camp, and I know you have, I just think that there's this. See, it extends beyond Rodgers. Yeah, I want Rodgers to play because I want Rodgers to shake the rust, but I also want the guys in front of him and the other 10 guys as a unit to gain a little cohesion. But yeah. I get it. I mean, listen, people are soft. Oh, you get hurt.
I know.
Oh, I know. It's football.
I know, but it's Rodgers. And because of his age, what good is going to come of this? I get it. You make a lot of good points. Fundamentally, I would agree with that. Like, what are we doing here? If you're going to get ready for the regular season, get ready for the regular season. But the old days are over. Like, guys would play not just a series, and that's the other argument against that, BT. Okay, what could a drive going to do or a series going to do? If you're going to play, play an
entire
quarter.
Why did he play last year?
Play a half.
Why did he play last year?
Yeah. I mean, but did it do any good?
It didn't do any bad.
Yeah. Well, but it could do bad, and it can't really do any good. If you're going to tell me, how about this? I'll meet you in the middle then. You want Rodgers to play? Play an entire half. What, he can't play a half of football?
I'm fine with that.
Okay, then play. But don't, like, throw him out there just to get him a drive where that's not really going to do anything. Playing a full half, maybe even a full quarter mm-hmm. of football.
I agree with that.
Go out there for the first series, sit down, get back up again, go out there, different plays. Yeah, like that, okay, now you're playing the game that can maybe get you more prepared for week one. I just think that where the sports evolved, combined with Rodgers' success, his age, what happened last year, I'd rather just figure that out and make week one a pseudo preseason game.
Let's go to Monty in Woodbridge, BT and Sal on the Fan. What's going on, Monty?
Hey, what's up, buddy? How are you?
How are you?
Good, good. Hey, listen, let's forget about it. Listen, the one thing that we're not talking about is game speed. I don't care. He has to play. He has to get up the game speed. You and I, listen, we're over 40 years old. Try to play some pickleball without stretching out. Mm-hmm. You feel it. He has to play. He has to work it out. If he pops an MC, if one of his ACLs are ready to pop, let it pop. Okay? If it's not, then we're fine. But he has to get up to game speed now. He can't sit on the side having a picnic, eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and in week one, game speed, popping MCL.
Yeah. I got to be honest with you here, Monty. Now, thanks for the call. I think that I think this is fairly easy to prove, that the older you get, the harder it is to start up. So don't you think, again, I'm going to use the word advantageous, don't you think it's advantageous for Rodgers, forget about the offensive line, chemistry, and all the other, for Rodgers to speed up his body a little bit before he gets and sees that Niners defense that's going to be coming from every direction, looking to pop him in half?
Well, then the argument should be he needs to play either a game or a half.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. That's how.
By the way, I never said just a series. Right. I just said play him.
I was just assuming because.
Yeah, no, I got you. Because last year he did.
Yeah, well, and if they do play, like, nobody. around the NFL, are starters outside of a rookie, like, do they even do? Remember, back in our day, 10, 15, whatever it is, 20 years ago, week three of the preseason would be the game where you see all the starters. You might even see some, if I'm not mistaken, BT, in the second game of the preseason. Like, first game, nothing. Second game, you might see a little bit. And then the third game was really the dress rehearsal.
Always.
You might.
That's where Jason Seahorn got hurt on the kickoff against the Jets back in 99?
I was at
that game, and people said he shouldn't play.
Right.
So he ripped up his knee.
This has been a conversation.
I mean, I get it.
Yeah, it's a conversation for years. Yeah. It's a tradition in August for sports talk. But at least back then, it was you play a full game week three of the preseason, then you rest week four, and then away we go on to the season. Now it's you barely play in the week three game in the preseason. You play a drive, a series, not even a full quarter generally. So if they're going to play and your argument is you want them to gel and have chemistry going into the season, then they need to play like almost the entire game then.
Let me get John up in Dutchess County. John, BT and Sal, all the fan. What's happening, bud?
Hey, guys, you know what? I kind of agree with Sal's original thought. You know what? The first game of the season, hey, you know what? If you're willing to use it as a preseason game, do that. But then Sal started saying about maybe at least a half preseason game, and I could live with that, too.
Well, no, I'm not saying that's what I would do, John. I am firm on I would not play him. My point is if the argument is that you want him to get ready for the season – just having him play for a drive or a series is not going to accomplish that. Then you need to play the entire game or at least a half to get that feel. For me, and I think this is what they should do, and it's what a lot of teams have been doing now, and specifically with Rodgers, what I would do, I would treat week one, I know Jet fans don't want to hear it, but I would treat week one like a you're obviously going to try to win the game.
Stop, it's not please don't say it like a preseason
No, but
game.
that would be the game in that regard, in the game where, hey, let's go out there and just see how everything happens. No. Like, I'm going all in week one. I'm not doing it in week three of the preseason.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean? Treating it like a preseason game sounds wrong. I don't mean that because preseason game, you're not trying to win.
Easing into the season.
Exactly.
I know what you're saying.
That's the game where I'd have, okay, let's see what the chemistry's like. Let's see where the game speed's at. That's the game.
All right, and what happens if there's no chemistry and somebody misses a blown assignment and he gets five ribs broken from the blind side?
I mean, that's a problem.
That's a problem.
But...
Now, again, just if he plays three series against the Giants, that doesn't necessarily, you know, take against or take away the possibility of that happening anyway.
But at least you feel understood. Better. You feel better about the game speed because he played three quarters.
Dust him off. He's dusty. He's rusty. He's old. He's got to be itching. If you ask him, and they should, I think he wants to play. And I would find it ironic. They've acquiesced with everything that he's wanted so far in his tenure as a Jet, and he wants to get out there and actually do the one thing that they brought him here to do, and they're probably going to say, nah, you're not going to play. Makes no sense. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan.
When this happened, you talked about it on the Fan.
It'll be a 1-1 to Judge. The pitch swung on and hit. Deep center field. Trout on the run. Aaron Judge, number 50.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 10:25 back on the Fan. BT and Sal, Brandon's here. The Sal Licata Show. Do a little baseball later. John Mara spoke. John Mara spoke. We'll get to that as well. Right now, we're talking about Rodgers. Dust him off. Let him play. Enough. Lose the bubble wrap. I understand. It's a bit of a risk. Understood. It's a risk I'm willing to take this year. It's a risk I was willing to take last year. I said the same exact thing. Play him against the Giants, I'd do the same thing this year.
Yeah, fundamentally, this is hard for me because I want to agree with you, and you're making good points, points that I've made myself over the years when debating this very topic, not specifically to Aaron Rodgers, but this year with this player, off of what happened at his age, with this franchise, there's just no way I could stomach losing Rodgers in a meaningless preseason game. I'd rather lose week one and have Rodgers get his feet under him and the speed and the chemistry and all that stuff in game action in week one than run the risk of losing him in the preseason.
All right. There you go. A little difference, actually. There you go. Big difference there. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal. Carmine, West Babylon. What's going on, Carmine?
Hey, guys. Good morning. So I'm going to have a take. It's not going to be very popular, but this is another example of how money has ruined the game, because I understand these players get paid so much money and the teams want to protect their investment. But what about the fact that, you know, people who may not get a chance to go to a regular season game, why are they not afforded the opportunity to see someone like Aaron Rodgers playing the preseason? Right? I mean, wow. You gotta forget, but like, you're still the fan. Like, the fan just gets taken out of this equation sometimes. And
they don't care about you, Carmine. They don't care about you. You didn't get the memo?
Nor should they in this case. I mean, what do you want them to do?
Yeah, they don't care about me or Sal, yeah, nobody.
Wait, but Sal, hold on a second. Sal, you had a very cavalier attitude with when you guys were talking about pitchers and pitch limits and just let the pitch. You can't force the injuries. Why is this different here with Rodgers?
Because it's preseason. The games that I'm talking about count. The games that I'm talking about count. You're talking about preseason. It's a big difference.
It couldn't be more different.
It's not about that. It's not about that. We're talking about games that count. I want to win every game that matters. Every game that counts. I'm not talking. You're talking about preseason.
You couldn't be more different. But the principle is the same, Sal. You can't have it both sides here. It's either one or the other.
No, I get what you're saying.
Carmine, listen to me.
One of the games matters, the others don't. That's a big difference. If Christian Scott, because that's the example that you're referencing, or any pitcher that comes out of a game after 70 pitches because he's not trying to win, I'd be okay with that. Do you know why? Because the game doesn't mean anything. The result of the game doesn't mean anything. There's a big difference. So I'm saying even a game in July or June, Mets-Pirates, means something. Therefore, go for it because you can't prevent injury. Now, you could say just the injury aspect of a BT. Mm-hmm. The caller is right. Carmine is right in this case. Injury aspect, even though I want to sit Aaron Rodgers and don't play him in the preseason, doesn't mean he can't get hurt, as we saw last year in week one. But I'm not taking that risk in a game that means nothing in the standing.
I mean, listen, there's a deeper conversation. At some point, they've got to just overhaul this because it's a complete shamble. It's a joke. It's not fair to the fans.
So what do you think? Just not have one?
Well, first of all, they would never not do that because of the money.
But it is criminal that they're charging fans 100%. For preseason games.
I used to get bent over with that when I had the jet tickets for a couple of years. They weren't in my name.
Right.
They were in my dad's buddy's name, and I used to pay for them. I used to have to pay for the preseason.
Right.
You know, now I was young. I would go. I would tailgate. It was fun. It was, you know, I enjoyed it, but not everybody could do it, you know, and not everybody wants to go and watch a bunch. Now, some players love to go and they scout, you know, this guy's going to be the third nickel and, the third tight end battle position. Like, I don't really care about that, except for the Jets and the Giants, but I'm not going to go to a game to watch that.
And to his point, some people go just because they're going to a game. So you get an opportunity. A lot of times season ticket holders or companies or whatever it may be give those preseason tickets away because they're worthless. You can't do anything with them. You're not making any money on them.
Yeah.
So that's where families who couldn't otherwise go get an opportunity to go.
That's true. You're going
to a game. You go to see Giants, Jets, or whatever it may be. All right, you're not going to see Aaron Rodgers, but you're still going to the game. So there is some value there, but you can't expect the Jets to play Aaron Rodgers because they feel bad for little Timmy who hasn't seen, you know, a real football game.
Little Tommy.
Yeah, or whatever.
Same thing?
Yeah.
Little Joey?
Right, little Joey, yeah.
Who's Joey's team, by the way? Your nephew?
I think he actually likes the Jets.
All right.
He's not big football. He's diehard hockey.
I know, he's a big hockey kid.
But he leans Jets, and I'm trying to think of why.
He's not like Uncle Sal, where he leans in several different directions, is he? Multiple teams?
I don't want to say I'm over the Falcons, but if I'm being honest with you, I just don't really care that much. Yeah. And I want both New York teams to do well.
I know you do.
It's fun.
What do you want to do better?
Well, what do you mean? Like if they were
Jets Giants playing the Super Bowl, who are you rooting for?
I probably got to go Jets.
You got to go Jets.
Yeah, just because of the story.
Yeah.
The Giants have already seen it, so I'd want the Jets to get a
you
little
You got to go Jets. Although he could torment me. And the radio would be...
Oh, that's true. Ask me week 18. Ask me when we've had 18 weeks after another season and the Jets are playing well and I got to deal with that. But no, BT actually grew up a Giants fan. And I remember being a Giants fan first. Matt Barr against the San Francisco 49ers.
Had
Giants memorabilia. And then I changed to the Jets when... I didn't change to the Jets. I became a Falcon fan because of Dion. Mm-hmm. And then when Parcells went to the Jets, I started rooting for the Jets, along with the Falcons, but I became more of a Jet fan than Giants. So I've had history with rooting for both, and now it's just easy being here doing this every day, and I really don't care about the Falcons that much anymore.
Let me go to Jay in Bridgeport. Jay, what's going on? BT and Sal, how you doing? Hello, Jay. All right.
Hey, what's going on?
All right, Jay, let's go, buddy.
BT and Sal, how you guys doing?
Good, what's up, man. Jay? Go ahead.
All right, so I think he should play because if he would have played the whole season last year and had chemistry with the guys, this year, then I'd say, yeah, put him in bubble wrap. But because he didn't play the season, just the four plays, and the center has the yips with the snaps, I kind of want to see that worked out in the preseason before doing that against the 49ers.
Well, that's what I was saying, you know, and that's a little tiny story. You know, you got to really follow this, and I have been, and Tippmann has not looked very good with these shotgun snaps. Fired it all over. Short hops over his head. Now, do I think that there's value in him doing it in front of, I don't know if there'll be 80,000 people. Well, there probably would be for Jets-Giants. Well, no, not 80. But in front of 50 or 60,000 people? Yeah, I do. Because it's the closest replication to a regular season game.
Right, but aren't they supposed to work on that stuff now?
It's not the same, though,
dude. Yeah, but it's week two in training camp.
But, Sal, it's not the same. It's like going to the driving range. Honestly, I went to the driving range last night. It's like going to the driving range, right? And just whacking balls without really thinking. Just boom, boom, boom,
and getting
boom,
on the
boom,
course,
boom.
I know.
And then getting on the first tee, 50 people staring at you. Right,
but if you can't hit one straight at the driving range,
yep.
What makes you think you're going to hit one straight off the tee box when you step up in for the first hole? Like, if he can't get that under control now,
yeah.
Then it's not just like, oh, well, preseason, the lights are on. No, he's got to fix it now before you get into the game. Otherwise, he's going to be removed.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. I mean, but he does have a few weeks to, you know, modify things a little bit.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and, it's week two.
It's not like he's 0-for-70 on snaps. I'm sure he's put a few good ones there.
It's week two in the in training camp. Like, we're not even close to there yet.
Oh, but it feels like football season.
Well, oh, it is football season. Too. I know. And it was the game last night. People get into that. I did not, still we get into that. It is football season. But I just don't. I mean, you're going to really risk.
I'm playing him. Playing him. Let's go to Rockland County. Brian Beats is such a loser. South Jersey. What's up, Adam?
Oh, my God. The clowns that you get once in a while. Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ. Unbelievable. Hey, guys. Great show as always. You know, listen, man, I say this from a coaching perspective. Rodgers hasn't played in really almost 2 years now, other than four snaps, right? Yep. He just had Achilles surgery. I'm going to tell you something. He doesn't know how he can move in live action. I don't care what you do in practice. Practice speed is not game speed. Your own defensive linemen are not trying to kill you. They're not trying to come after you. Rodgers isn't going to be sure in week one if he doesn't get to play in preseason what he can do, how he can run. How is his plant foot on the run? You know, they don't know each other as far as left tackle and quarterback. The left tackle has to know, how does he move? Which way does he go when the rush comes from this side? Which way when it's shooting gas? Which way when they're crossing? There's a lot of important factors that people don't see that are just fans that need to be worked out before you get to regular season. Because never mind just sacrificing a game or two, which is very possible if you don't play in preseason. You might be sacrificing him more because he doesn't know what he can do.
Yeah.
And that's a big problem. And that's why he needs to play. Now, he's probably not going to. And because of it, it may cost them a game. And I'm not even really worried about it costing them a game. What I'm worried about is something like we saw on play four last year.
But at some point, Adam, he's got to have his first play in game speed, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, there's going to be his first drive and first series in game speed, like whether it's preseason game three, whether it's week one against the Niners.
The joint practices, too.
Yeah, okay.
They have a couple of those coming up.
And those would be good. Those should be the equivalent of a preseason, or at least close to it. Who are they matching up with? Do you have it?
I think Washington, Carolina, maybe?
Well, right. The joint practices would be the first time. So he's going to get a little taste of it there. But at some point, it's going to be the first in-game action. I would just prefer that to be week one as opposed to running the risk in game in preseason. I think you make an argument either way. For me, I'm not running the risk in the preseason.
I just find it incredibly ironic. Hey, you want Randall Cobb? Sure. You want Evan Turner? Sure. You want Alan Lazard? Sure. You want your offense coordinator? Sure. You want to play football? No. Can't let you do that. No. Can't let you play.
Right. I mean,
think about that.
I get it.
The essence of what he was brought here to do, play football, they will probably not allow him to do. Now, again, I do get it. I don't want to sound crazy. I get it. It's a calculated risk both ways, but you know which way I'd roll the dice. I'd get him out there for a couple of series against the Giants, shed the rust. He is rusty. I don't know that he fully trusts his body. He said the other day, you know, he's doing the rollouts and the sprints. Yeah, okay, great. Nobody's chasing you. And if they are, you got a red jersey, so you know they'll pull it up.
Right. I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you could never really replicate that until you get in season. So he's not going to know. And that goes for a lot of players. But with him in particular, at his age, coming off that injury, it's a little bit different. I think you can make an argument either way. For me, I just cannot justify. Like, when it gets down to it, all the things you're saying, BT and Adam and the other callers feel the same way as you do,
yeah.
You make good points. But ultimately, I cannot run that risk of losing this guy in the preseason. I wouldn't be able to sleep at night if I decided, you know what, we're going to play him in preseason game 3 and he gets hurt, God forbid.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, BT and Sal back on the Fan. We'll get back to these Aaron Rodgers calls. John Mara spoke. We'll get that in as well. 888-808-1019. Big 10-game roadie for the Mets coming up as well. So, pretty busy today. Get back to the calls, as I said. You know, I did not watch the game last night, although I did obviously check in just to see what the new kickoff rules looks like. I like it. So, let me just describe it. I'm sure some of you know this.
I did not see it, so go ahead.
Okay, so you've got... The kicking team on the other side of at the 40, past
right.
midfield, okay?
Right.
And then you've got the receiving team with 9 guys lined up 5 yards in front of them. So the receiving team's at their own 35, and then 5 yards in front of them, 10 guys, okay?
Okay.
And then 2 guys obviously back. They call that the green zone. So inside the 20 is the green zone. The kicker is all by himself. He is at his own 35. So there is 5, 10, 15, 20. There's 25 yards of space separating the kicker from the 10 guys on his team trying to chase down the other
okay.
team. All right? And then obviously, well, I mean, the reason they're doing this is to...
Yeah, safety.
Well, safety.
Limit contact.
Yeah.
Guys running full speed, full force,
boom,
longer distance.
Boom, boom.
Yeah, okay.
Now, what happened on the first one? It got brought out to the 26. I think it's...
Where did the kick end up?
Let's see. I'm going to tell you right now. It wound up right... I believe it was right at the goal line or the 2. No,
okay.
A little sure. At the 5.
Okay, at the 5, yep. And he took it out to the 26.
Correct.
Okay.
And there's definitely... I don't want to say minimal contact. It's easy for me to say in the studio. These guys are still knocking the snot out of each other. But, yeah, you don't have some crazy monster running 40
yeah.
yards downfield that, you know, 4-3, 4-4, just
now,
destroying somebody.
Now, shouldn't this open the kick return game up? I know it's why the Jets wanted Tariq Cohen, for example. Shouldn't this, in
it should.
Theory...
It should.
Because guys are going to be easier blocked, you would think, in the closer proximity to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if you have guys blocked, it should theoretically create more lanes to make it more exciting.
Yeah, I don't think it was just fully, I mean, yeah, it was for safety. I do believe optically or aesthetically, I think that that's part of the motivation too. I think it just became boring. How many times do you watch
a game?
Oh,
God, in the back. It's pointless. Just get rid of it then and place the ball to 20 or 25.
I know.
Let's move on.
Go through the nonsense shenanigans. Here's the kick. Here's the, you know, in the end zone. Here's the whistle. Here's the commercial. Here, let's trot out to the field. Let's just play. Let me just see this as the overhead once more. If it looks like there was, and I'm sure there was others. I'm just looking at the first one.
The next step, if this doesn't work, is to just get rid of it.
Yeah. Was there a lane to run? Like, I want to see if it was all bunched up in the middle, or if there's anything on the outside here. It looked like it was all up the gut. All right. He fields it at the 5. Yeah, he goes right up the gut. Yeah, I mean, Sal, like, here's a screenshot. Look at this.
So he's going to have space...
On the left.
Right. He's going to have more space to run, which is why it should be, in theory, a little more exciting at least.
Yeah, and coaching's going to matter here. I mean, if you're a special teams coach, that's all you've done for the last 5 months.
Figure out this new kickoff.
And as we know, because we're usually on the wrong end of this, coaching matters. So,
the
assets in the other organizations, you know.
I think the Jets,
some good stuff.
Jets are probably at a significant disadvantage in that regard.
I think the Jets special teams are good. I'm talking about special teams.
I was going for the head coach.
Of course, you always get you shot in on Sal, but don't jab it always.
I like Sal. Seems like a nice guy. Just can't coach. That's the problem.
Let me get Vinny Orange County with BT and Sal on the Fan. What up, Vin?
I would definitely play him because the backup this year is not, it's Tyrod Taylor. So the likelihood he's going to get a season-ending injury is probably less likely than a little tweak here or there, and Tyrod's got to play anyway. So the situation's not the same this year. I would play him.
So you're willing to risk playing Aaron Rodgers in the preseason and risk him getting hurt in any capacity?
Yeah, because the backup isn't the other guy. I forgot his name right. So we're happy. Yeah, he's not here.
Yeah, but what does that have to do with risking losing Aaron Rodgers? Like, you don't want to see the backup, period.
You're saying they're better equipped
to deal with? You don't have to sacrifice every single game until he gets back.
Understood, but why would you run that risk in the preseason? You got to give me a better reason than that, the backup.
No, it's not. It's a very good reason, I thought. But they don't have to believe me, but I would play him. He's got to get out there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if I'm co-signing your reasoning for it, your rationale. But, yeah, I'm on the same page. I would play him as well. Is Garrett Wilson going to play?
I'm assuming, yeah.
All right, well, why? He can get hurt.
Well, he's also not 40 years old.
Tyron Smith going to play? He's had a bad back. I'm sure he's going to get some reps. Don't play him.
I would limit him in the preseason as well.
This is the problem.
What do you want to tell him?
Breece Hall, he got hurt a couple of years ago in Denver. I don't know. Maybe he shouldn't play. Right,
but then you want to go back to...
Just play football.
Understood. But then it should be the old way where in preseason game three, the entire starting team plays the majority of the game.
Yeah, it used to really go into the third quarter.
That's what I'm saying, because now you get to sit for the half.
Yes.
Come out, play the first series of drive in the third quarter, and then you can do whatever
you want. Get acclimated to the stops and the starts. Okay. I have no problem with that.
All right, well, but now I wouldn't do that with Rodgers, but I certainly understand that reasoning more so than, well, there's a better backup. That doesn't mean anything. It doesn't matter. If Rodgers goes down, it's over.
Let me get Dennis and Hop Hog. What's going on, Dennis? How are you?
Hey, how are you guys? Hello. I appreciate you taking my call.
You got it.
Quick question. I did not see the football game last night, and I'm not really sure about this new kickoff rule, but are they allowed to onside kick? Because how could you, if you want a surprise onside kick, how do you do it? Is that possible?
I thought I saw something, but I don't even know if it's real or not. Did you see something that they changed the rules completely? And thank you for the call, Dennis.
Yeah,
we appreciate
Dennis.
You checking in. Hop's on the phone, of course. Hey, we got to look up. I'm pretty sure there was a rule change with that. But again, on social media, and then people, like one of my buddies texted it to me. So I just don't know how accurate it is. I don't want to go with that on the air here. Could have been duped by a fake thing.
I mean, did they get away with it? I thought
they did.
Illegal before the fourth quarter.
Right. Are you sure about this now?
Because that's what was sent to me. I believe
so. What was sent to me was that it's illegal until the fourth quarter.
Okay.
And when you do go for an onside kick, you could only be trailing and you have to let the other team aware of it.
Now, yes, that's true. Hey!
Right. We're onside kicking, which is why I didn't believe it. I'm like, I almost... You know, who knows in these group things? Sometimes people get had by some bull crap on Facebook.
No, I'm seeing a bunch here. Onside kicks are illegal before the fourth. You must be losing to kick an onside kick, and you must announce the intention. I mean, that is, talk about the wussiest rule of all time.
I mean, what are we doing?
We must announce it.
It's so bad that I don't even believe it's real.
I mean, unless we're being had here, I feel like it is. I'm seeing a ton of stuff here.
Now,
oh, my God.
Now, it does.
I did not know that.
But it does make sense, BT, in the aspect of the way that they have the new formation.
Alignment? Yeah. I know.
Like, how are you?
I know, because then you can't do it. If they're set up the way they are now on the other side of the field, you can't do it onsides. So you'd have to alert them, but it just seems weird. It's like when we were in the street. Did you play football in the street a lot?
A little
bit,
not a lot, but yes.
All right,
in the yard, in the street, whatever.
More grass, more yard?
Yeah.
All right, we didn't have a lot of grass. We would play in the street, right?
Okay.
And in front of my house was and still is, and my parents still there, telephone pole. And down the house, my buddy T-Rat, Tommy, he had a telephone, but those were the end zones, right? And when we were playing... We were playing on the concrete. We'd say, like, fourth down, we would actually yell. You'd have to sell. Hey, are you kicking or sticking?
Yeah.
Are you punting or are you going for
kicking
it?
Or sticking? Yeah,
you know?
I like it.
They're going to be yelling at Greg, we're kicking, we're sticking. I mean, jeez, it seems so meaningful and archaic. What?
That's a great one.
Oh, my gosh.
The Jets could be yelling, yeah, kicking or sticking.
Yeah, they'll probably get that wrong. Matt in Matterville. What's going on, Matty?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you doing?
What's
up,
hey, Matt.
I mean, I don't know. I've been reading a lot about these new kickoff rules, and it seems like the NFL is getting really soft on us here, man. I mean, no more surprise onside kick. You have to alert the ref that you intend to do an onside kick, and you have to be losing to do it. I mean, didn't we have a surprise onside kick in a Super Bowl?
Yeah, like, well, it's over now. That's it.
I know. I mean, I know. I don't know how I really feel about it. I mean... You guys honestly think it's good for the game?
I don't think it's as significant. Like, and I don't know if I've just gotten soft because I'm just beaten down. Like, I'm tired of fighting the fight.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not the way that it is. Like, yeah, the core of me says, hey, you play the game in the preseason, the third preseason game, so you're ready for week one. But it's been years of watching teams not be ready for week one, two, three, and then by week four, it's like, oh, okay, this is what these teams are. The onside kick, while it could be a brilliant strategy and catch teams off guard, ultimately, it's a play that fails the majority of the time. It's total desperation anyway. It generally just does not work.
But it gives you a chance, which impacts strategy. Like, at least if you know that you, even though the percentages are very small, but if you know, hey, I'm down multiple scores and it's fourth and whatever, and the probability of a touchdown here is not very good, so let me take the three, bypass the seven, and then maybe get a little lucky and mess around with an onside kick. Again, that's how the Jets beat the Browns a couple years ago with Joe Flacco.
I remember it well. Why not, though, evolve the sport? Because you would agree that the majority of the time, the play is not exciting.
Yes.
And I also feel like...
Well, it's anticlimactic. Yeah, it looks fun, exactly. And then nothing happens.
And I also feel like it could cheapen the team that's leading in a way. Like, it takes a lot to get... Let's say a team drives the entirety of the field, 12-minute drive,
uh-huh.
You score a touchdown, you're now up by 4 points.
Okay.
Or whatever it may be. It doesn't really matter how much you're up by in this particular case. The other team has no... well, I guess in this particular case, you'd have to have score, and then you need to get another chance. You score a touchdown, now you're down three. You can't kick off the ball, you need the ball back, right?
Yep.
You're still, the other team was up two scores. They allowed one score. Now you're going to, it cheapens it.
Well, don't give up the one score.
Well, that's fine. But then the onside kick, if they recover that, now it just negates all the hard work that team did.
Whoa.
I do feel like it cheapens it. And by the way,
I don't agree with that.
Like, I'd rather, why not evolve it to, because it's such a fluke play. Like, what is the team that's kicking the onside kick really doing?
They're executing something that's almost impossible
that's
to execute, and you should get credit for that.
It's such a fluke thing. It's
okay,
not
well,
a skill
how about this?
Thing,
so how
and
about
it happens
this?
So minimally.
Let's say this. The Mets are playing the Braves, and Pete Alonso hits an absolute missile in the gap that's run down by whomever. Mm-hmm. Sliding catch, game over, Mets season over, bases loaded, would have scored two runs, season done. Okay. I mean, he hit it on the screws. He's got nothing to show
but
for it because
different.
The Braves made a great play.
It's
different. You get rewarded.
It's different because the kicking game, in that particular case, the onside kick, is such a small part of the overall game.
Then get rid of it entirely.
Okay, well, that's what I was going to say. Why not, and people have thrown out this theory before, why not in that case, let's say you score a touchdown, all right, now you're down another score, you need to get the onside kick, in theory, you have the choice to either kick it deep to the team and play defense or try to convert a 4th and 25 or whatever it is, a 4th and 20, and if you don't get it, the other team takes over where...
I'll tell you why that would bother me. You know how many pass interference calls that, there'd be?
Yeah,
you think that would develop it,
I do think that's probably why it hasn't happened yet. There's no perfect way, but...
No.
I just...
Don't you think
it's
a little too XFL-ish if you start messing around with that stuff?
Well, what do you think's more exciting?
I tell you, I mean, it's relatively mundane until it works. Then the onside kick is insane.
I know, but it's so rare. I mean,
I
love to see the percentage of it, but 90, it feels like 95, maybe more, percent of the time, it's useless.
888-808-1019, BT and Sal, Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show on the Fan. Coming up, John Mara spoke. He said some interesting things. We'll get that into the old hopper as well. BT and Sal on the Fan.
You know what? We're going to play him in preseason game 3, and he gets hurt, God forbid.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, BT and Sal back on the Fan. We'll get back to these Aaron Rodgers calls. John Mara spoke. We'll get that in as well. 888-808-1019. Big 10-game roadie for the Mets coming up as well. So, pretty busy today. Get back to the calls, as I said. You know, I did not watch the game last night, although I did obviously check in just to see what the new kickoff rules looks like. I like it. So, let me just describe it. I'm sure some of you know this.
I did not see it, so go ahead.
Okay, so you've got... The kicking team on the other side of at the 40, past midfield, okay?
Right.
And then you've got the receiving team with nine guys lined up 5 yards in front of them. So the receiving team's at their own 35, and then 5 yards in front of them, 10 guys, okay?
Okay.
And then two guys obviously back. They call that the green zone. So inside the 20 is the green zone. The kicker is all by himself He is at his own 35. So there is 5, 10, 15, 20. There's 25 yards of space separating the kicker from the 10 guys on his team trying to chase down the other team.
Okay.
All right? And then obviously, well, I mean, the reason they're doing this is to...
Yeah, safety.
Well, safety.
Limit contact.
Yeah.
Guys running full speed, full force, boom, longer distance.
Boom, boom.
Yeah, okay.
Now, what happened on the first one? It got brought out to the 26. I think it's...
Where did the kick end up?
Let's see. I'm going to tell you right now. It wound up right... I believe it was right at the goal line or at the two. No,
okay.
A little sure. At the five.
Okay, at the five, yep. And he took it out to the 26.
Correct.
Okay.
And there's definitely... I don't want to say minimal contact. It's easy for me to say in the studio. These guys are still knocking the snot out of each other. But, yeah, you don't have some crazy monster running 40
yeah.
yards downfield at, you know, 4-3, 4-4, just
now,
destroying somebody.
Now, shouldn't this open the kick return game up? I know it's why the Jets wanted Tariq Cohen, for example. Shouldn't this, in
it should.
Theory?
It should.
Because guys are going to be easier blocked, you would think, in the closer proximity to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if you have guys blocked, it should theoretically create more lanes to make it more exciting.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think it was just fully, I mean, yeah, it was for safety. I do believe optically or aesthetically, I think that that's part of the motivation too. I think it just became boring. How many times do you watch
a game?
Oh,
God, in the back, it's oh, pointless. God. Just get rid of it then and place the ball to 20 or 25.
I know.
Let's move on.
Go through the nonsense shenanigans. Here's the kick. Here's yeah. the, you know, and then the end zone. Here's the whistle. Here's the commercial. Here, let's trot out to the field. Let's just play. Let me just see this as the overhead once more. If it looks like there was, and I'm sure there was others. I'm just looking at the first one.
The next step, if this doesn't work, is to just get rid of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there a lane to run? Like, I want to see if it was all bunched up in the middle, if there's anything on the outside here. It looked like it was all up the gut. All right. He fields it at the five. Yeah, he goes right up the gut. Yeah, I mean, Sal, like, here's a screenshot. Look at this.
So he's going to have space...
On the left.
Right. He's going to have more space to run, which is why it should be, in theory, a little more exciting at least.
Yeah, and coaching is going to matter here. I mean, if you're a special teams coach, that's all you've done for the last 5 months.
Figure out this new kickoff.
And as we know, because we're usually on the wrong end of this, coaching matters. So,
the
assets in the other organizations, you know,
I think
come
the Jets,
up with some good stuff.
Jets are probably at a significant disadvantage in that regard.
I think the Jets special teams are good. I was about special teams.
I was going for the head coach.
Of course, you always get your shot in on Sal, don't you?
I like Sal. He seems like a nice guy. Just can't coach. That's the problem.
Let me get Vinny, Orange County, with BT and Sal on the fan. What up, Vin?
I would definitely play him because the backup this year is not, it's Tyrod Taylor. So the likelihood he's going to get a season-ending injury is probably less likely than a little tweak here or there, and Tyrod's got to play anyway. So the situation's not the same this year. I would play him.
So you're willing to risk playing Aaron Rodgers in the preseason and risk him getting hurt in any capacity?
Yeah, because the backup isn't the other guy. I forgot his name right. That's how we're going to have to.
Yeah, but what does that have to do with risking losing Aaron Rodgers? Like, you don't want to see the backup, period.
You're saying they're better equipped
to
deal
with? You don't have to sacrifice every single game until he gets back.
Understood, but why would you run that risk in the preseason? You got to give me a better reason than that, the backup.
No, it's not. It's a very good reason, I thought. But they don't have to believe me, but I would play him. He's got to get out there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if I'm co-signing your reasoning for it, your rationale. But, yeah, I'm on the same page. I would play him as well. Is Garrett Wilson going to play?
I'm assuming, yeah.
All right, why? He can get hurt.
Well, he's also not 40 years old.
Tyron Smith going to play? He's had a bad back. I'm sure he's going to get some reps. Play him.
I would limit him in the preseason as well.
This is the problem.
What do you want to tell him?
You know. Breece Hall, he got hurt a couple of years ago in Denver. I don't know. Maybe he shouldn't play.
Right, but then you want to go back to...
Just play football.
Understood. But then it should be the old way where in preseason game three, the entire starting team plays the majority of the game.
Yeah, it used to really go into the third quarter.
That's what I'm saying, because now you get to sit for the half.
Yes.
Come out, play the first series of drive in the third quarter, and then you can do whatever
you want. Get acclimated to the stops and the starts.
Okay.
I have no problem with that.
So, all right, well, but now I wouldn't do that with Rodgers, but I certainly understand that reasoning more so than, well, there's a better backup. That doesn't mean anything. It doesn't matter. If Rodgers goes down, it's over.
Let me get Dennis and Hop Hog. What's going on, Dennis? How are you?
Hey, how are you guys? Hello. I appreciate taking my call.
You got it.
Quick question. I did not see the football game last night, and I'm not really sure about this new kickoff rule, but are they allowed to onside kick? Because how could you, if you want to surprise onside kick, how do you do it? Is that possible?
I thought I saw something, but I don't even know if it's real or not. Did you see something that they changed the rules completely? And thank you for the call, Dennis.
Yeah,
we appreciate
Dennis.
You checking in. Hoff's on the phone, of course. Hey, we got to look up. I'm pretty sure there was a rule change with that. But again, on social media, and then people, like one of my buddies texted it to me. So I just don't know how accurate it is. I don't want to go with that on the air here. Could have been duped by a fake thing.
I mean, did they get away with it? I thought illegal before the fourth quarter.
Right. Are you sure about this now?
Because that's what was sent to me. I believe
so. What was sent to me was that it's illegal until the fourth quarter.
Okay.
And when you do go for an onside kick, you could only be trailing and you have to let the other team aware of it.
Now, that's true. Hey!
Right. We're onside kicking, which is why I didn't believe it. I'm like, I almost, you know, who knows in these group things? Sometimes people get had by some bull crap on Facebook.
No, I've seen a bunch here. Onside kicks are illegal before the fourth. You must be losing to kick an onside kick. And you must announce the intention. I mean, that is, well, talk about the wussiest rule of all time.
I mean, what are we doing?
We must announce it.
It's so bad that I don't even believe it's real.
I mean, unless we're being had now, here, I feel like it is real. I'm seeing a ton of stuff here. Oh my God.
Now, it does.
I did not know that.
But it does make sense, BT, in the aspect of the way that they have the new
alignment.
Yeah.
I know.
Like, how?
I know, because then you can't do it if they're set up the way they are now on the other side of the field. You can't do it onsides, so you'd have to alert them. But it just seems weird. It's like when we were in the street. Did you play football in the street a lot?
Not a lot, but yes.
All right,
in the yard, in the street, whatever.
More grass, more yard.
Yeah.
All right, we didn't have a lot of grass. We would play in the street, right?
Okay.
And in front of my house was and still is, and my parents still there, telephone pole, and down the house, my buddy T-Rat, Tommy, he had a telephone, but those were the end zones, right? And when we were playing on the concrete, we'd say, like, fourth down, we would actually yell. You'd have to sell. Hey, are you kicking or sticking?
Yeah.
Are you punting or are you going for
kicking
it?
Kicking or sticking, yeah.
You know?
I like it.
They're going to be yelling at Greg, we're kicking, we're sticking. I mean, geez, it seems so Neanderthal and archaic. What?
That's a great one.
Oh, my gosh.
The Jets could be yelling, yeah, kicking or sticking.
Yeah,
oh,
and they'll probably get that wrong. Matt in Matterville. What's going on, Matty?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you doing?
Hey, Matt.
I mean, I don't know. I've been reading a lot about these new kickoff rules, and it seems like the NFL's getting really soft on us here, man. I mean, no more surprise onside kick. You have to alert the ref that you intend to do an onside kick, and you have to be losing to do it. I mean, didn't we have a surprise onside kick in a Super Bowl?
It's over now. That's it.
I know. I mean, I know. I don't know how I really feel about it. I mean, you guys honestly think it's good for the game?
I don't think it's as significant. Like, and I don't know if I've just gotten soft because I'm just beaten down. Like, I'm tired of fighting the fight.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not the way that it is. Like, yeah, the core of me says, hey, you play the game in the preseason, the third preseason game, so you're ready for week one. But it's been years of watching teams not be ready for week one, two, three, and then by week four, it's like, oh, okay, this is what these teams are. The onside kick, while it could be a, you know, brilliant strategy and catch teams off guard, ultimately, it's a play that fails the majority of the time. It's total desperation anyway. It generally just does not work.
But it gives you a chance, which impacts strategy. Like, at least if you know that you, even though the percentages are very small, but if you know, hey, I'm down multiple scores, and it's fourth and whatever, and the probability of a touchdown here is not very good, so let me take the three, bypass the seven, and then maybe get a little lucky and mess around with an onside kick. Again, that's how the Jets beat the Browns a couple years ago.
I remember it well. Why not, though, evolve the sport? Because you would agree that the majority of the time, the play is not exciting.
Yes.
And I also feel like,
well, it's anticlimactic.
Yeah,
it looks fun,
exactly.
And then nothing happens.
And I also feel like it could cheapen the team that's leading in a way. Like, it takes a lot to get, let's say a team drives the entirety of the field, you know, 12-minute drive,
uh-huh.
You score a touchdown, you're now up by 4 points.
Okay.
Or whatever it may be. It doesn't really matter how much you're up by in this particular case. The other team has no, well, I guess in this particular case, you'd have to have two, you know, score, and then you need to get another chance. You score a touchdown, now you're down three. You can't kick off the ball, you need the ball back, right?
Yep.
You're still, the other team was up two scores. They allowed one score. Now you're going to, it like cheapens it.
Well, don't give up the one score.
Well, that's fine. But then the onside kick, if they recover that, now it just negates all the hard work that team did.
Whoa.
I do feel like it cheapens it.
And by the way, I don't agree with that.
Like, I'd rather, why not evolve it to, because it's such a fluke play. Like, what is the team that's kicking the onside kick really doing?
They're executing something that's almost impossible to execute. You should get credit for that.
It's such a fluke thing. It's not a skill thing.
So how about this?
It happens so minimally.
Let's say this. The Mets are playing the Braves, and Pete Alonso hits an absolute missile in the gap that's run down by whomever. Mm-hmm. Sliding catch, game over, Mets season over, bases loaded, would have scored two runs, season done. Okay. I mean, he hit it on the screws. He's got nothing to show for it because the Braves made a great play.
It's different.
You know, you get rewarded.
It's different because the kicking game, in that particular case, the onside kick, is such a small part of the overall game.
Then get rid of it entirely.
Okay, well, that's what I was going to say. Why not, and people have thrown out this theory before, why not in that case, let's say you score a touchdown, all right, now you're down another score, you need to get the onside kick, in theory, you have the choice to either kick it deep to the team and play defense or try to convert a 4th-and-25 or whatever it is, a 4th-and-20. And if you don't get it, the other team takes over where.
I'll tell you why that would bother me. You know how many pass interference calls that, you know, there'd be? Think that would develop it, you know?
I do think that that's probably why it hasn't happened yet. There's no perfect way, but.
No.
I don't think
it's a little too XFL-ish if you start messing around with that stuff?
Well, what do you think's more exciting?
I tell you, I mean, it's relatively mundane until it works. Then the onside kick is insane.
I know, but it's so rare. I mean, I love to see the percentage of it, but 90, it feels like 95, maybe more percent of the time, it's useless.
888-808-1019, BT and Sal, Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show on the Fan. Coming up, John Mara spoke. He said some interesting things. We'll get that into the old hopper as well. BT and Sal on the Fan.